Thank you, councillors. It's now 6:30. And I advise that in accordance with the council's code of meeting practice, council meetings are recorded and webcast. The entire chamber is included in the audio recordings, and the gallery may have their voice captured and webcast. By attending a council meeting, you consent to your speech or other personal information being captured, recorded and webcast. For this reason, I advise that any opinions expressed or statements made by individual persons during the course of this meeting are the opinions or statements of those individual persons and not opinions or statements of council. All persons should refrain from making any defamatory remarks. Council accepts no liability for any defamatory remarks made during the course of the council meeting. Furthermore, all persons should refrain from making public comments about any individual without seeking the consent of that individual. We all stand for the council prayer. Councillor Burke.
Most gracious God, we pray for the council of the City of Cessnock, its members and officers, direct their work and influence their decisions to the advancement of your glory and the safety and welfare of this city, so that peace and happiness, truth and justice, and sound development may be established among us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Council acknowledges the Wanneroo people as the traditional custodians of this land we are meeting on today, the elders past, present and future. We also acknowledge the Awabakal people to the east and the Dargunjung people to the south, and other Aboriginal peoples who now live within the Cessnock local government area. I have two apologies from Councillors Dagg and Saval. Someone moving they be received. Move Councillor Burke, second Councillor Gray. I'll put that, all those in favour. That's unanimous. Thank you. Confirmation of minutes of the previous meeting. Move Councillor Sanders, second Councillor Gray. No comments. I'll put that, all those in favour. That's unanimous. Disclosures of interest. Councillor Fagg.
Thank you, Madam President. A disclosed interest in the report of the direction signs, that's WI55 2020. I have a non-pecuniary interest, less than significant conflict, for the reason that I own an accommodation business in the Vineyard District. I choose to remain in the chamber and participate in discussion and voting, as the conflict has no influence on me carrying out my public duty.
Yes, thank you. So, in regards to public access, because there's no public access, submissions were called from members of the community, and the Director of Infrastructure and Director of Planning and Environment, rather, is going to read out four submissions. Thank you. So it's directly involved in the LSPS, I assume. Okay, the director.
Thank you, Mayor Pinsent. The first submission is from LWP Proprietary Limited of Huntley. Number one, in the PE19-2020 LSPS Public Consultation Outcomes Report at page 30, item inverted commas, infill development, end of inverted commas, the planning response and resulting amendment states that the infill target has been reduced to 60%. However, the LSPS to be adopted still shows 70% at page 21. Item 2, in the PE19-2020 LSPS Public Consultation Outcomes Report at page 18, item inverted commas, centre hierarchy, end of inverted commas, the planning response and resulting amendment states that the issues are noted and floor space caps are arbitrary. However, we note that page 40 of the LSPS to be adopted still includes the comment, inverted commas, care will also be taken to ensure that development within the B4 mixed-use zone at Huntley does not grow beyond the needs of the immediate community at North Rothbury and to a point where it may undermine the viability of other centres elsewhere in the city, end of inverted commas. This appears to be inconsistent with the zoning for the B4 land at Huntley and seems to preempt the results of Action 5 on page 41. Item 3. In the PE19-2020 LSPS Public Consultations Outcome Report at page 18, item inverted commas, infill development, end of inverted commas, the planning response and resulting amendment states that PP1 and PP3 are equally applicable to both existing and emerging centres. and this needs to be reflected in the LSPS. It is not immediately clear how this resulting amendment has been incorporated into the documents at PP1 and PP3 in the LSPS to be adopted by the Council. Second submission is from Ms. Gabrielle Stroyth. Can it please be recorded that before 7 p.m. today, I would like to submit in the near future an inquiry regarding the permitted land use and objection to existing rates zoning, specifically for Kersley Selection Road. That's the end of the submission. The next submission is from a Ms. Kirsty Ash of Mount View Road, Millfield. I would like to thank Council and the councillors to write to you on our submission expression of interest, site 12 to 16, 19 and 30, document 2020/065993. I would like to replay to the submission that was stated in the agenda, page 41. My name is Kirsty Ash and our land at 1565 Mount View Road is surrounded by rural residential properties of similar size with building approval, and we are on a main artillery road which is used by the Hare Krishna and their follows to access their property and the equestrian centre, as well as many businesses along the road, all of which is high traffic use. And we regularly use the road, already granting us dwelling entitlement on our land, which would not have a significant effect on the council maintenance. I would like to reply to the statement that this would be a dangerous presentient, I think that means precedent. As council asked for expressions of interest in 2015, we submitted an application to apply for a building entitlement which all property owners in the Cessnock district had opportunity to. As our property is along Mount View Road, there are a mixture of productive and non-productive small holdings that surround our property. We would like to be a productive member of the community that fits into the local area. Stated properties that are productive are rural residential with building entitlement, which allow holders to be successful in maintaining and managing property full time. Yes, these small agricultural activities are capable, but due to the size, it is more labour intense and requires property owners to be able to monitor and maintain stock and crop for diseases and injuries. The land will still maintain the same physical attraction as farmland that surrounds our land that have building entitlement. We are just asking to have building entitlement as our neighbours have same opportunity to have. The background studies were completed in 2017, where it stated that there is sufficient land zoned to cater for housing. Since then, there has been a new subdivision in Millfield that is sold out. And as we are already an existing holding, we are not asking to be rezoned just for building entitlement to build a house. As stated, the land is on a main arterial road, and the only extra service that is to our neighbours is garbage service. Again, thank you for me allowing to address this matter. The next submission is from Ms. Carl and Vanessa Stolznow of Black Hill Road, Black Hill. I would like to submit a proposal for the rezoning classification for Black Hill Road, Black Hill, with the possibility of the subdivision of the property, Lot 201, DP 119-5993, 386 Black Hill Road, Black Hill, New South Wales 2322, which is 45.77 hectares. This opportunity has been afforded to my immediate neighbours. I, however, propose an extension of the subdivision to our property. Due to the nature of our layout of the property, our property aligns with the local church, and due to the structure of the current division, we support the community by paying the water usage of the church. Further, as we are in the immediate radius of the Black Hill Public School, our property would be appropriate to subdivide for residential rural living that aligns with Black Hill's local family community. Thank you for consideration of the submission.
Thank you. That's a lead-in that we're going to deal with PE 19-2020, Deferred Business, Adoption of Cessnock Local Strategic Planning Statement. Councillor Stapleford.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I'd like to move the recommendation with some amendments, please. That Council adopt the Cessnock Local Strategic Planning Statement as amended following community consultation with the following alterations.
Okay, can we just clarify, it's an amended recommendation?
It's an amended recommendation, sir.
Thank you.
Planning Priority 1, page 22. Planning Principle 6, deleted.
Councillor Gray's a second now.
Planning Priority 2, page 24. Planning Principle 2, deleted. Planning Priority 4, page 27, action number 2, deleted, include the sequencing strategy for future developments, leaving just prepare an urban growth strategy. Planning priority 6, page 29, change the wording, first dot point. They do not encroach into the vineyard district, significant agricultural, rural or environmental areas, and replace that with they do not reduce the viability of significant agricultural or environmental areas. The preamble, delete the words from paragraph 7. However, we have a significant supply of zoned urban land available to meet the medium long-term growth needs of our community. Therefore, the reasoning for this investigation area is not expected to occur within the short medium term. Planning priority 9, page 38. Planning principle 1. Add the word employment to read land use policies that affect the vineyard district recognise the economic and employment contribution that the wine tourism industry add to the local regional economy. Planning priority 22, page 63. Planning principle 5. Dwelling entitled provisions reflect the rural amenity and significant agricultural value of rural land. We'll change that to dwelling entitlement provisions reflect the rural amenity. Actions. To review the minimum lot size applicable to rural environmental zones to avoid fragmentation of rural land. Change to review the minimum lot size in rural and environmental zones. Planning priority 23, page 64. Planning principle, delete number 3. Planning priority 27, page 68, the preamble, delete ancillary services such as accommodation and food and drinks should be encouraged to the locate in the town centres to entice visitors to explore other areas and explain the economic benefit to the events. Action number 7, delete. Planning priority 28, page 69, planning principles, delete number 3. Planning priority 29, page 70, planning principles, delete 4.6. The implementation and action plan includes the following alterations. Actions number 2, urban growth management strategy, short term, change to immediate. Action number 11, the town centre place marking strategy, short term, change to immediate. Action number 13, the village strategy, listed as a short to intermediate change to immediate. Action number 14, local character study, medium, change to immediate. Number 15, cycle and trails through the vineyard district. Short term, change to immediate. Number 16, greener places, urban forest policy and street treat policy. Change from a medium to an intermediate, to immediately. Identify the map and map important agricultural, significant agricultural landscapes and view sheds. Short term, to immediately. That council write to those persons who made a submission, thanking them for their input and advice on these council decisions. That the general manager table a report to council outlining the cost with the adjustments to timing of this report. That the additional cost in the LSPS be covered up to a limit of $400,000 from the Grants Funding Leverage Reserve. The time frame changes are reflected in the Operational Plan 2021 at the September Quarterly Review. Okay. Thank you.
We're just changing dot point six. Okay. Councillor Olsen.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. President. Just a question on planning priority one on page 21. We have an actions one in actions one point dot point three prioritises the delivery of infill housing within existing urban areas. Is that a real priority of Cessnock Council, or is that being directed by someone else at us?
Okay, the director.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. Councillor Olsen, that is consistent with directions from the state government for compact urban centres.
So I'm not sure how long ago it was, but which council term it was, we had a policy we introduced here to stop the subdivision of blocks and overdevelopment of places like Aberdeer and West Cessnock where large blocks. Is that policy still in place, or has that been deleted, or does this override that?
Director.
Through you, Mayor Pinson, I'm not quite sure what policy you're talking about, but lot sizes are generally governed through the LEP, and it would have been in the LEP when Council adopted that in 2011 or 12. This doesn't override the LEP. This actually gives direction to the future LEP.
Yeah. My concern with that is in the statement here, it says many established areas are characterised by ageing housing stock on large lots. As these lots are redeveloped, there are opportunities to achieve more dense housing types such as dual occupancies and multi-unit dwellings. Now, I know the people that I represent have complained to me many times about the overdevelopment of Aberdeer, how it's changed the character. So if this is the direction from the state government, we need to be letting these people know that we've been told we have to do this. Although we have plenty of land already approved for development at Huntley and Bellbird and plenty of other sites, I believe we'd have well over 10,000 blocks available at this point in time. I don't see this being a priority for Cessnock, that we should be taking on what the state government wants to make of Cessnock. It should be what we want to make of Cessnock and what the people want to make out of Cessnock. And to me, this should be the state government saying, you've got to make this statement, but this has got to be in it. Well, that's not Cessnock's statement, that's the state government statement. And I feel very disappointed that this has been forced on us by our state government when clearly we don't have the infrastructure to meet the demands that this state government wants us to take and federal government as they keep pushing growth on the Australian people as a way, more population growth as a way of making this country continue to grow. And we don't put the infrastructure into place. We might build a hospital at Maitland that's in a very poor position, but we're going to close another hospital down as we grow. And as we've been told in the last briefing, that there's in 15 years' time, they want to have 10 or 20,000 extra people living in Cessnock. Like, where do these people go to work? How do these people get around on our roads that clog up now? Where do all these people live? That's going to be, what are they going to do? What are they going to do when they get here when we have such high unemployment? At some stage, our governments have got to say, enough's enough with population growth, and sometimes they've got to say, okay, Cessnock has a character, let them develop their character, not be forced on by what the Sydney people want and how the Sydney people live. And they've outpriced themselves in Sydney for houses, and now they want to do it the same to us here in Cessnock. So I'm very disappointed with that part. Although I'm going to accept this document because it's been forced on us by the state government, I will continue to say that our state government has asked us to write this but has told us what to put in it. And that, to me, is very disappointing, and we don't want overdevelopment in Cessnock like this.
Councillor Gray.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. And I am really happy to second this motion and the amendments going forward. As many of the councillors will know, a lot of work has been done by the councillors, but also a lot of work has been done by the staff to bring this document together. This is one of the most important documents that we have probably had to vote on this term. It sets the precedence of where we're heading in general direction for till 2036, what is a long way away. And it shows not only that, this document is the top of the strategic planning framework. It effectively shapes what all our other documents going forward works. So by deferring it, and there's been lots of discussion between councillors, lots of points of difference between actions and priorities and principles and all the rest of it, but it was really, really strategic for us to get this right, because it is going to be shaping the future. Also, especially acknowledge the effort that the staff have put in, because the document is extraordinarily comprehensive in its entirety, and the work of the councillors. But also, I'd like to compliment the engagement of the community at large. We had 225 people turned up at community forums. 142 written submissions. So we extended the time period to allow people to comment, and we took all efforts to make this document as inclusive as possible across the LGA. So I commend the work of many of the councillors here. I've had many, many late nights, and we're still talking about it at 5 o'clock this afternoon. The amount of work that's gone in from all sides here needs to be complimented, and I commend the document to the Chamber. Thank you.
Councillor Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and likewise with Councillor Gray, extending my thanks to the staff for all their work. I appreciate that every single councillor in this chamber has a responsibility for this document, and we all have our own areas of expertise when it comes to different things in our term of council, and they are actioned upon when we need. And I appreciate that we as councillors had every opportunity to ask questions and raise concerns before tonight to be able to get to this document, as Councillor Gray says, to be right and a good thing for our town. And I know that we shouldn't pinpoint people, but I would like to say a public thanks to Councillors Fitzgibbon, Stapleford and Gray. And I know Councillor Gray said a lot of councillors have put effort into this, but these three councillors have put an enormous amount of effort into making sure that this document is right for our town, and they should be publicly thanked for that.
Thank you. Councillor Lyons.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I'd also like to support this document, particularly the amended version. I'd like to thank the staff for their hard work. Heaven help how many months of hard work went into this, and how many thousands of hours, but it certainly is an amazing document. Every council in the state is adopting similar documents, but I think this is the most comprehensive one, certainly in the Hunter. I think it is the most detailed plan that Cessnock has ever adopted for a vision for development and how we will pan out in the future. And hopefully this will actually give some certainty to investors in the area over the next 20 years about how this community sees itself going and how this council sees itself going. I would like to thank all the residents that have actually participated in forging this document. There's been a huge amount of community involvement, as Councillor Gray has said, and that certainly is something that should be commended. And I think we've seen from the draft version to this version, we've seen those changes actually being written into this document. So it's a sign that actually, yes, we have listened to what residents and developers have said about the future of this town. I'd also like to reiterate what Councillor Burke said, in particular thanking Councillor Fitzgibbon, Gray and Stapleford. Their hard work on this certainly has made it a lot easier for other councillors to digest. They've really done a lot of hard yards to make sure this is a better document, and so I'd like to personally thank them for the help they've given me with this. And I would like to endorse this as a great vision for the future, and I look forward to the implementations and actions being met.
Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Through you, Mayor Pinson. Look, there have been a lot of people acknowledged here tonight. It really was a team effort by the community, councillors and staff. There are a couple of things that I'd like to speak to, and one is the actual money that we've allocated to the implementation and action plan. For those out there in the community who are wondering what the LSP is, it is a visionary statement planning the direction of our LGA. By establishing planning themes and priorities to accommodate projected growth, which is estimated to be up to 10,000 more homes and up to 20,000 more people across our LGA. The changes to the implementation and action timeframes will deliver strategies in a short timeframe to ensure any new developments more than meet the expectations of our people who live in rural village and town centre areas. I'll just raise two other issues that were we had a lot of feedback about building entitlements. We've taken out a contentious point in the document, but we also have left in an opportunity to map the building entitlements, which is very important for those people who already have those entitlements. And hopefully with the development of the LEP, we can revisit those applications from the community for who are asking for building entitlements on their blocks. And I will hope that all councillors support and adopt the Cessnock Local Strategic Planning Statement.
Yeah. Councillor Stapleford.
Thank you, Mayor Pinsent. Just on Councillor Olsen's view of the infill part that was in Planning Statement 1, I struggled with this for a long time, but the first priority is to have a housing strategy. So when the housing strategy comes back to Council, I think that would be one of the main discussions that we'll have. So,
okay, thank you, and that closes debate. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? It's unanimous. Thank you. Consideration and adoption of all reports by Englobo or individually with nominated exceptions. Councillor Doherty.
Thanks, Mayor Pinsent. I'd like to for Council to consider, having read the various reports in the agenda items, to Englobo these items. GMU 10, the Minutes of the Audit Risk Committee. GMU 1, the Risk Management Policy. GMU 13, Work Health and Safety Policy. GMU 14, Communication in the Absence of the Cessnock Advertiser. PE 22, Draft Cessnock City Council Heritage Policy. PE 23, Development Application Performance Monitoring Report. CC 48, Privacy Management Plan. CC 49, Fraud Control and Corruption Prevention Policy. CC 50, Investment Policy. CC 51, Minutes of the Cultural Facilities Committee meeting held on the 21st of May. CC 53, the Investment Report. WI 46, Community Resilience Funding for Laguna and Wollumbi Village. WI 47, Water Tank at Wollumbi. WI 49, Review of the Miller Park Master Plan. WI 50, T192008, Bridges Hill Park Playground Stage 4 Grading Stairways and Decks and Handrails. WI 151, LGA Bus Shelters and Pathways in Capital Works Program. WI 52, Request for Sponsorship and Waivering of Australian Postage Grand Prix. The WI 55, Installation of Directional Signs for Community Services and Tourist Facilities. CO 6, COVID-19 Pandemic Financial Assistance. And CO 7, Councillor Superannuation Discussion Paper Extensions of Submission Deadlines.
Thank you.
I'd like Council to adopt these recommendations.
Yeah, so, Councillor Dowie's moving that way. There'll be a second from Councillor Gray. I'm going to put that. All those in favour? That's unanimous. There are no mayoral minutes. Motions of urgency? No. GMU 11, 2020. Equal Employment Opportunity Management Plan 2020. Move Councillor Gray, second Councillor Burke. Councillor Stapleford.
Thank you, Mayor Pinsent. I've only got a small amendment to it. In the part heading Our Vision on page 89, on the middle column where it says increase the number of women in leadership and senior management positions, I think in this council that should be taken out. There's no place for it in this council. We employ people.
Now we just get a seconder for the amendment. Right, so we right with that, that the reference to women in the vision. Yes, Councillor Stapleford.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. We employ people on merit. And if you have a look around our staffing here, a lot of our senior managers are women. And I just think this is an insult to them. And our general manager is a woman. We employed her on merit, not because she was a woman. And I think that part should be taken out of the vision statement and replaced with "we employ people on merit."
Thank you, Councillor Fagg.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I was of the very same opinion that dot points 3 and dot point 4 were being terribly specific and in fact, at some point, almost directing that we should have various people by default of all the others. All applicants should be considered equal, and I think that dot point three and four, should be removed and replaced by all applicants to be considered equal.
Thank you. Councillor Gray.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson, and I couldn't disagree more with the amendment. If you read the title of the document, it's Equal Employment Opportunity Management Plan, and it's about equal opportunities and equal opportunities for all. It is acknowledged that historically that women have faced challenges in entering into senior managerial roles over time. I understand the arguments, you know, being in the Labor Party, you know, we're well and truly understanding the arguments between the merits and of people being elected against their gender. However, to lift females into senior roles where they haven't felt the confidence overall in history to apply, or they've felt that there was barriers to them, is a good thing to be done. The whole point of an equal employment opportunity management plan to exist at all is to actually provide equal opportunity. That it's acknowledging in the document, or we just have an employment statement that says everybody will be elected by merit. We would not need all the pages in this document at all beyond one statement, one line saying everyone will be elected on merit. But we're acknowledging as a chamber that barriers exist, not only to women, but also to other minorities within our society. And we do all sorts of things to actually try and lift them into it. I do acknowledge that, yes, that we as Cessnock City Council have a lot of females in managerial roles, but you only have to look across the directors of how many female directors do we have. Are there females out there with the confidence, you know, to carry out that role? I know they're there. I know they exist, and we'd want to encourage them to apply. So I can't support the amendment. Thank you.
Councillor Olson.
Yeah, thanks, Mayor Pinson. I certainly support this amendment. I think anyone should get the job on a merit. It shouldn't be on what you look like, what sex you are. Everything should be on merit. I'd really take offence to saying that we're going to employ more women in leadership roles. I remember one term of council here, we had three ladies sitting across the front of the council because they were the best people for the job at the time. I'll support anyone for a job so long as we get the best. I always want the best. I know the Labor Party policy is 50-50. Doesn't matter how good you are, they just take 50-50 or they stack a branch. So what I'm worried about here is that if we are going to say we're going to increase the number of women in leadership and senior management positions, that means Mr. Curtis is leaving on Friday, we're going to be looking for a woman. We might as well advertise for a woman because we want to increase it in leader management. That's not what we should be doing. We advertise for the best person. We get the best person to work for the council. If you're just going to limit it to a woman to apply for a job,
who guarantees we're going to get the right person for the job? We want the best people working for Cessnock. We want to get this council moving forward. And if we don't keep advertising for people on equal opportunity, and that's what this is all about, by putting it in there, increasing the number of women in leadership, is not making it equal opportunity. It's making more opportunity for women, not more opportunity for a man. And every time I turn a corner, it's the white Australian male that's getting knocked down all the time. We deserve to be put on the same level playing field as a woman. And I work with women. I have no problem working with women. I engaged a woman up the front here. I insisted in applying Ad and Miss Jackson to the workforce here. And our previous general manager, when we had her here, I helped appoint her as well. I have no problems with women. I just want the best person for the job. And by putting that in there, only increase the number of women in leadership, is derogatory. It really is derogatory. That doesn't mean the woman that's going to get the job is the best person for the job. It's downgrading women, I think, and I will be supporting the amendment.
Okay. Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I won't be supporting the amendment. This document is not about women. It's about all different types of people in our community that cannot be discriminated against because of their age, religion, education, background, marital family status. The list goes on. And, of course, all of us here want the very best person for the job, and that's why we have a very good recruitment policy. And I also note in the recruitment and selection part of the report, the strategy is to educate key stakeholders in merit-based recruitment, and the performance indicators are that the human resource team members and hiring managers to be retrained or trained in merit-based selection. And then in corporate diversity plan actions to recruitment activities, it also says consideration to be given of whether positions as they become vacant are suitable for redesign for part-time or job share employment or other flexible work arrangements to suit women, mature workforce, and whether positions are suitable to be dedicated for an Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander or person with disability. Now, there will be those that will think that maybe that is discriminatory, but the reality is, even today, women and people who aren't just white sliced bread are discriminated against. And I'm sad to acknowledge that fact, but it is a fact. And this policy will direct council staff to choose the best person, no matter what their background is. If they are the best person for the job, then it's merit-based.
Yeah. Councillor Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I'm just echoing what Councillor Fitzgibbon has just said. It is based on merit, absolutely 100% on merit. I do like the word that Councillor Gray has used, and that's encourage. And we certainly should be encouraging women to take leadership and senior management positions. Increase is quite a, for me personally, increase to me is a forceful word, because we're going to try and make someone do something, because the dot point is to actually increase the number. It does go on the other way though, Mr. Mayor, because recently a school that I was privy to some information is holding some elections for their leadership. And they had a lot of young females, and they only had one male. So, you know, it does have the opposite effect in some cases, but I won't be supporting the amendment.
Thank you. I'm going to put the amendment. All those in favour? Councillors Olsen, Dunn, Fagg, Stapleford. Those against? Councillors Doherty, Gray, Burke, Fitzgibbon, Sander, Lyons and Pinsent. So it's lost. I'll put the original motion. All those in favour? Councillors Doherty, Dunn, Fagg, Stapleford, Gray, Burke, Fitzgibbon, Sander, Lyons and Pinsent. Those against? Councillor Olsen. PE 21, 2020. application proposing to modify development consent number 2007/720. Move Councillor Gray, second Councillor Burke. Councillor Doherty.
Thanks, Mayor Pinson. When I read through this particular report for us to approve a Section 455 application regarding the non-ashfelding of a grassed area in front of the two home building application, I got concerns about what we call consistency within the LGA. And it seems like a setting a precedent that over other applications. And I refer to an application in Currycurry lodged in 2017, which was DA8/2017/19 in Brunker Street, for exactly the same, a new home on the back of an existing home. Allworth Street was to be the side entry up to the new home. So council required them to asphalt the grassed area along the whole side of that street. Great. The cost to them would have been exorbitant. Eventually, they withdrew their DA at considerable cost to them, and they resubmitted a DA through a private certifier for a granny flat. This flies in the face of the LSPS wanting quality infill development in town centres that suit the character of the area. Now, if they had been allowed to build the dual lock on the back of their block of land, it would have been a far better quality home than a granny flat that's going on there now. And I'm quite disappointed in the fact that we seem to have issues like this, where these people said they were quoted nearly $300,000 to do all the asphalting. It was quite wide, the area, and yet here we are going to make a recommendation here tonight to waive the asphalting of a curb between the curb and gutter and the asphalt street. So I can't support this.
Councillor Olsen.
Thanks, Mayor Pinson. I have to be in agreement with previous comments there. I'm astounded that we keep doing this when developments go in and we're not consistent with them. I don't understand why we do it. I don't understand why we don't make a developer, and I don't care if it's a mum and dad developer or whatever. Whoever they're doing it for a reason to make money out of it. And it's going to end up costing council in the end because there's extra dwellings there. I know they said it's been there 10 years, but the condition was put on them and it should be consistent. And if we're going to do it in Curry, we should be doing it in Cessnock. We should be doing it. And other residents have done it and have paid their money to do that with conditions put on them. And yet here we are now going to waive it off a development that should not be waived. And we do this too many times. Too many times we set precedents. We set a precedent not long ago, just around the corner, and that's what they're relying on. And it's very disappointing that this council is the one that started that one. So we're going to be down again, the developer not paying their way, leaving it for council to pay later on.
Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Through you, Mayor Pinson. Just a question to the director. So I'm not happy with the inconsistencies either. One rule for one rule for everyone. So the development that Councillor Doherty was speaking about in Currycurry, I'm sure you don't have the details of that. So why is there an inconsistency in what one rule for one and one not for the other?
The Director.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I think you're talking about different applications in a different sequence in time. So in 2017 and prior to the council's adopted position in relation to curb and gutter, there was an interim strategy, and that interim strategy, I understand, was applied to previous development. This particular development, the condition only required that prior to the construction certificate being issued for the civil works, not for the construction of the building. So there's been no inconsistency as a result of that. And in order to ensure consistency with the rest of the street, they have agreed that this should not be applied. In the past, where they have applied it blindly, it has actually caused other issues for council's drainage networks and road construction. So what we're actually trying to do is prevent inconsistency here.
So I have one more question. I'm aware of a similar development up in Kersley Street in Aberdare where they have insisted on curb and guttering going in, and what it creates is a huge pooling of water in a laneway because the trunk drainage wasn't put in. It was just a condition of council to put curb and guttering on. So that's what you're meaning, isn't it, by what you're saying, by your explanation?
The director.
Thank you, Mayor Pinsent. I'm not quite sure of the development you're talking about, but the consistency you're talking about is because of those things happening in the past where conditions have been blindly put on in accordance with council policy. A review of that has indicated that it has actually caused problems in the past, so we're trying to avoid that in the future.
Okay, fine. So, Councillor Dowie, you've spoken on the recommendation.
Yeah. Yes, Mayor Pinsent, but there's an error in what's being discussed here.
No, we're not getting involved in debate. You've had your opportunity. Thanks, Councillor. You can ask a question, but I pointed out that you can't, because you've spoken once, you can't get re-involved in debate.
I'd like to ask a question of the director. Is it true that both Allworth Street and Harris Street are actually curb and gutted?
Mayor Pinsent. Councillor Dunn, I'd have to take that on notice. Like, I'd have to go back and check Council's files, maps, etc.
Okay, we're going to put the motion. All those in favour? Councillors Dunn, Stapleford, Gray, Burke, Fitzgibbon, Sander, Lyons and Pinsent. Those against? Councillor Olsen, Doherty and Fagg. Thank you. CC 52, donations under section 356. Rate relief. Move Councillor Gray, second Councillor Burke. No debate. I'll put that. All those in favour? That's unanimous. CC 54, resolutions tracking report. Councillor Olsen, was someone moving? Yeah, moving. Yeah, so it's Councillor Gray and second Councillor Lyons. Councillor Olsen, you've got the call.
Yeah, Mayor Pinsent. On page 331, we have a development location proposing construction of a roundabout to facilitate access to St Philip's Christian College. At the end of it, down as we go down through it, it doesn't say DA is currently under assessment. That's for the building, but nothing's been lodged yet for a roundabout through and the RMS. I was just wondering what they were actually going to put in there, because the RMS had not approved a roundabout previously. Is there still going to be a roundabout there, is it?
The director.
It's through you, Mayor. I understand that the development team are working with the owners of the property being the school, and they're looking at the impact of the expansion of the school and what that impact has on the adjacent road network. Now, that is a state road, mm-hmm. and it's something that Transport for New South Wales have been pushing, is to truly understand what is going to be the final development of that site, to understand what infrastructure is required on Wine Country Drive. So no decisions have been made about any intersection, roundabouts or the like.
Okay. Righto. So we're still waiting on that. Yep. No worries. Thank you.
Thank you. No further debate. I'm going to put the motion. All those in favour? It's unanimous. WI 48, 2020, draft skate and BMX strategy. Move Councillor Gray, second Councillor Lyons. Councillor Olsen.
Yes, Mayor Pinsent. This comes to us as a briefing last week, and there is a couple of different proposals for skate parks, etc. I'm just wondering, before we get this back, can we come back with a priority of which skate park we're going to do first, not just have three or four skate parks across the area and we've got no funding for any of them and not knowing which one is our priority when we're chasing funding for them.
Okay, so I think we might need an extra dot point there if I take advice, an extra dot point if we're going to prioritise the skate parks, okay?
Yep.
So I'll just get the mover and seconder to agree that a priority list come back with the next report, Councillors Gray and Lyons? Yeah, okay, fine with that.
Thank you.
Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Just quick, through you, Mayor Pinsent, just quickly, for all those listening out there in the community tonight or watching, this is a great strategy. It's called the Draft Skate and BMX Strategy. It will be on Council's website, so I ask you all to please get on and have some input and have a look at what we're going to do, because that way we can make sure that we deliver what the community needs.
Thank you. No further debate. I'm going to put the motion. All those in favour? That's unanimous. WI 53 2020, adoption of Road Safety Strategic Plan. Move Councillor Gray, second Councillor Sander. No debate. Put the motion. Those in favour? That's unanimous. WI 54 2020, Marlton Street and Henderson Avenue, Cessnock, options to fund road rehabilitation. Councillor Fitzgibbon, you're moving that way?
I'd like to add another dot point.
Fine.
Is it up there, please? That Council include both Marlton Street and Henderson Avenue in the local roads renewal program in the first year of the 2021-2025 delivery program.
Okay. Fine, we get a seconder. Councillor Lyons. Speaking
you,
to that?
Yeah, I'll just quickly speak to that. Look, both Martin Street and Hennett, look, there are lots and lots of roads in Cessnock and Curry all over the LGA that require work. These two in particular, of course, I travel on these roads often, so there would be people who might think that that's why they're getting done. Well, it's not. Henderson Avenue had some lovely units built on the corner there opposite the Scout Hall, and the road, particularly from the bridge to Maitland Road, is shocking. But that road's used as a rat run for those people coming into town. They duck through Henderson Avenue into Ferguson Street to McDonald's, or those people coming from the other end of town duck around the McDonald's corner along Ferguson Street and up through Henderson Avenue, both times to avoid the traffic lights on the corner of Allendale Road and Wallumbine Maitland Road. The road in Marlton Street, really it's worst from Maitland Road to Halcyon Street, but I can't remember in all my many, many years that road's ever had any attention. So I'm sure those people who travel on those roads would agree that they are in need of some maintenance, and I will certainly be looking to put other roads into the local renewal program and the delivery program in the next stage.
Councillor Olson.
Yes, Mayor Pinson, I'd like to ask the Director of Works, if I may, where these roads would sit in a priority listing for our council at this point in time.
The Director.
Through you, Mayor, I'd have to take on that on notice. We're doing a condition assessment at the moment.
Yeah, it's amazing that Councillor Fitzgibbon lives down the end of Henderson Street and wants to get it done up. It's nothing to do with where she lives. But Councillor Fitzgibbon can put up whatever she likes, and all I see this as being here is jumping the queue. We set up our priorities, and we should be looking at priorities of the roads most used. Now, Mountview Road is used by a lot more people than Henderson Avenue, and Mountview Road is in atrocious condition. And there's more than thousands of cars going along that road every day, especially past the school. So why isn't that a priority? Why aren't we jumping up and down for that one? Why are we looking at Marlton Street? I can tell you there's a lot of residents out here be saying to me, why are we pushing these two streets? Now, they're both in my ward. I'd love to have them done. I'd love to have every street in my ward done. But I drive around these streets a lot. I run around these streets. I ride a push bike around these streets. And I tell you what, there's a lot of worse streets than those two out there. And I cannot understand why we would be putting this as a priority for the 21-25 delivery program over any other than where a councillor lives.
That's very dangerous ground, councillor. Sorry? Yes, and at certain times it's very dangerous to say those things in public. Councillor Stapleford.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. With this report, it talks about some grants that are available, but at the present time they're mainly for transport routes. But if we look on page 477, other relevant information, Marlin Street traffic comprises frequent delivery trucks. So if it's got delivery trucks going to it, to the shopping centre, that would have to be a transport route. I just had struggled to work out why there are delivery trucks going down there and it's not eligible for one of the ones that do with transport.
Councillor Fitzgibbon will close debate. I'm conscious of that. Councillor Doherty.
Thanks, Mayor Pinsent. I'm concerned about roads being prioritised because consideration was removed for Mitchell Avenue and Currycurry 2 delivery plans ago, and it's only going to be done next year. So we've gone 9 years before Mitchell Avenue is going to be rebuilt, only from the roundabout in Northcote Street to the railway line. There's no consideration for the rest of this road, which is used not by three vehicles, delivery vehicles a day, but by dozens upon dozens of semi-trailers. And now the industrial estate at Weston is just about full, and we've got even more semi-trailers coming in there delivering product to A&L, coming into the concrete crushing plant, coming into the various fabrication workshops that are in that particular industrial precinct. I'm glad, finally, that Mitchell Avenue, one section of it, is being rebuilt. But now we're talking about at least 9 years and two delivery plans that it was been missing from.
Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Through you, Mayor Pinsent. Look, I do take offence at Councillor Olsen's comment. This is not queue jumping or making it a bigger priority because I live in one of the streets nearby. The reality is there are 10 other roads that I could identify and will put forward for the delivery program. And getting onto Mount View Road, Councillor Olsen is well aware why we are not upgrading Mount View Road. Until we have a new jail entrance, we aren't going to upgrade Mount View Road while it's being smashed every day by all of the jail traffic. So for those out there who have
thank you, councillors.
Less than satisfactory roads, as a councillor I'll be working hard to get them on the delivery program or in the delivery program so that we can improve the quality of them. Thank you.
No further debate. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Councillors Doherty, Gray, Burke, Fitzgibbon, Sander, Lyons and Pinsent. Those against? Councillors Olsen, Dunn, Fagg and Stapleford. WI 56, the draft 2025 Waste and Resource Recovery Strategy Results of Exhibition. Councillor Fitzgibbon, you're moving that way.
I just have a dot point that I need to add to that as well.
Sure, and we'll wait till the dot point, Councillor.
That is that the Councillor workshop plan for early 2021 be brought forward to 2020.
And we've got a seconder from Councillor Sander.
So it was recommended by in the risk implications. There are risks in adopting the amended strategy without the actions removed by Council at the meeting on the 4th of March. If we want to have a possibility of getting grant funding opportunities, we must have a strategy. And I think bringing the workshop forward to forward that strategy is the best way forward.
No further debate. Put the motion. Those in favour? That's unanimous. Yep. Councillor reports. Councillor Sander.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a report regarding the Cessnock Curry Hospital Advisory Committee meeting. It was held yesterday afternoon. I attended this meeting, and Councillor Darren Gray was an apology at this meeting. Just an update on what is happening out in the world of the Hunter New England Health. All the hospitals, obviously, such as Currie and Cessnock, have been dealing with the current COVID-19 pandemic over the last 3 months. Strict protocols have been introduced at the hospitals and will be maintained for many months to come. It is more than likely that until a vaccine has been developed, these protocols will remain in all of the Hunter New England Health hospitals. Cessnock Hospital has had a number of months set up a drive-through COVID testing clinic. It's available from 8 o'clock till 6 p.m. daily, this service. And the service will be reviewed at the end of this week. The numbers of people who have taken up this service average 80 to 90 people a day, which is encouraging to see. The normal hospital and medical services have been turned upside down during this pandemic. Social distancing will be the new norm within Currie and Cessnock hospitals. A new position has been created for a 12-month role as a patient experience officer at both sites. This position will go between the two hospitals asking questions of patients' experience and service at these two sites. All emergency rooms have been transformed into COVID-safe areas for all patients and visitors. Elective day surgery has been recommenced and numbers back to normal. All staff have had formal COVID-19 training. Community work plans and volunteer groups have been allowed to recommence at the sites. Aboriginal engagement and programs have recommenced within the hospitals. The accreditation process for both hospitals is ongoing and assessment will be carried out later in the year. Due to the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, International Nurses Day was turned into the month of May, and the activities usually carried out to recognise the good work done by all nurses was recognised over the month. The cleaning staff are also being recognised due to the extra workload asked of them during this time. The Health Literacy Program, initiated last year, has been recognised by all hospitals as a wonderful program that brings to the fore how people interpret the information given to them by health professionals in a one-on-one situation and what their recall is of the information given to them. This program has commenced teach-back calls. This calls for people, asking just for that. What will a person remember after the discussion they have with the health professional? The health literacy program has a couple of challenges that we have to face. One is the use of the discharge summaries by all medical staff, and the second one was the program has not been integrated into the hospital's IT platform at this stage. So forms and information are not automatically generated within the system. The committee is certainly taking this on board with the partnership group to make sure that the IT platform is engaged with this health literacy program. The meeting closed at 5:45 and the next meeting will be at Cessnock Hospital on August 18, 2020. Thank you.
Thank you. Before I close the meeting, on behalf of the community, I'd like to recognise that this is the last meeting of the Director of Planning and Environment before he moves to Dungog in the position of General Manager. Sorry, I can't see you. But on behalf of the community director, I say thank you. And on behalf of Council, I say thank you for the contribution over the last 9 years. It's important to remember that 9 years ago, the planning powers of this Council had been taken away by the Minister. There was a situation where the average time of processing DAs was over 100 days. In your time as director, we're now proud of saying that our DA approval time is in the 50 days. And for that, one of two things I say thank you. The other, I think, cutting edge innovation that you've made is the planning for forums to developers, where you've brought together the planning community with the council officers. And I think bridging that gap has really paid dividends for our LGA. So on behalf of everyone, I say both thank you and the best of luck in your position at Dungog as General Manager. Well done. Thank you. And on that note, I close the meeting. Thank you.